All right. I want to talk to you about experiencing God's abundant supply. I just been going back in some of my books and just going in a chapter in my books and getting a hold of stuff. Let's see. I forgot what book this came from now. I think it came from, how many of you remember I preached some sermons about creating the world you want to see, you know, and talked about the world you live in, not the big world, but the world you live in. I think that's where this one came from. You know, you get to putting sermons together and you forget which one when you preach this one, because I've already preached 80. This morning, I think, is my 85th time to preach already this year. So, sometimes you don't know where you preach what when. So I got a log. I put it down in at home. Experiencing God's abundant supply. How many of you want to experience God's abundant supply? You know, he wants us to experience his abundant supply. But do you realize that experiencing God's abundant supply requires two things to be in operation? Two things, our natural ability, okay, and the supernatural ability of God. And what do I say many, many times? You've heard me say it. The natural and the supernatural coming together make the explosive force for God. Amen. It's not all natural. It's not all supernatural. Sometimes it is natural. Sometimes it is all supernatural. But most of the time, it's a combination of both. This building is an architectural, unique design. In fact, Ross McCready, that developed and designed this building, he used his natural ability. He designed a lot of other buildings here on campus and also churches. And he actually, when he came to work for us, he had just designed $20 million science building for Rice University down in Houston. And but he had natural ability, but he began to pray and ask him how to do this, because the way this building is constructed, put together, the way this ceiling is done, it's all unique. In fact, it was his natural ability with supernatural ability that got this building built, and the results of God giving him these designs that he incorporated with his natural ability for this unique design of this building. It was featured in many architectural magazines back in 92. That's a long time ago, but praise God. You know, right here in our own congregation right now, we have doctors, we have attorneys, bankers, engineers, businessmen, mechanics, contractors, construction people, all kinds of different people here, and you know, all of them have their natural ability. And in fact, you know, it takes the natural ability in these areas, but you know, it also, you can ask for the supernatural ability. God can give you the ideas that will coincide with your natural ability to make something come to pass that somebody said couldn't be done. Hello. You know, God can give you the answers even though you have natural ability. Brother Charlie Daniels that built this building, overbuilding this building, he had natural ability, but he would pray and ask the Lord to help him with things. And the Lord would tell him. I remember he came to me and he said, you know, there were several things going on that was needed to be done. And people were coming and wanting their money. And the Lord told him, hey, he had praying about it. And the Lord told him what to do. He went and checked it out and found out that they was double charging us. Well, he knew, you see, now what I'm saying, he knew how many square board foot it was for some wall board, but he went and checked it again because the Lord told him to, and the guy come in wanting money for the change order, and he had doubled the wall board foot. So, but you see, he was using his natural ability with the supernatural ability. Amen. Now, I want you to notice that your abundant supply comes whenever the natural comes in contact with the supernatural. Now let's look at Luke 5:4. This y'all all know this scripture. You've read it many, many times. We're going to look at it today. Luke 5:4. Okay. I'll wait and see. I'm watching people on their devices. There, Bill over there, he's got his regular Bible on one knee and his iPad on the other knee. And then our brother Marvin, he got his iPad. My wife's got her Bible in there and she's looking it up on her iPhone. These people over here got their regular Bible out and some iPhones and iPads. So, hey, wherever it is, get the Bible somewhere. Find it so you can read it with me. All right? Start with verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Now let's look at something here in the natural realm first, okay? Notice that Peter and his crew, they have fished all night. They were commercial fishing. And they were fishermen. That's the way any of you ever been out on a commercial fishing boat? I have. I was 17. Dad was holding a meeting in Coos Bay, Oregon, I remember, and one of the boys there in the congregation, he and I become friends. His dad was a commercial fisherman, so they asked me to go out with him. And as Dad told me, he said, "Listen," he said, "we don't come back in. So we're gonna be out there, you know. If you get sick, you just get sick." Well, I did. Whoa, that's bad. But they're not out there fishing for pleasure. How many of you just fish for pleasure, you know, just for fun and pleasure? That's one thing. But it's another thing when it's your livelihood. And that's what the Peter and them, they were fishermen. That was their livelihood. That's the way they lived. And so they knew about fishing. Now I want you to notice, they had worked all night. They had fished all night and caught nothing. Man, that's bad. That's really bad. You know, we often encounter these situations. You know, they had toiled. Didn't seem like that anything was working. Have you ever been there? Have you ever toiled and worked and seemed like nothing? You had nothing to show for it? You know, we encounter these kind of situations all the time. Our knowledge, our strength, our resources are not enough. We need God's help. Luke 18:27. That's my scripture. Anytime anybody asks me to write my name, sometimes I ask them what they want my name for. They say, "Well, you know, you're famous." I said, "I didn't think I was famous," but they want me to sign a book or something. And I always, this is my scripture. Luke 18:27. But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, here, Jesus had used Peter's boat to do, because the crowd was so much, it was pushing against him. He was down against the sea. And so he got in Peter's boat and went out just a little bit, and he talked to people. When he had finished, he told them, he said, "Okay, go out into the deep water." He said, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down." Now, wait a minute. Jesus is the teacher, the preacher. Peter is the fisherman. He, it would have been real easy to say, now, wait a minute. You a preacher. I'm a fisherman. I know about fishing. You know about preaching. But, hey, I've already fished all night. I know they're not no fish. They're not running today. Hello. You know, that'd sort of be like me telling Roger Sharper, you know, he's one of our helpers around here, assistant to the pastoral staff. And he was retired as assistant fire chief for the city of Tulsa. Now, that would be like me telling him something about a fire, because I don't know nothing about fires. He would look at me and say, you the preacher, I'm the fireman. Now, let me take care of that. I know what to do. You know, that, and he well should. Hello? But you see, if it would have been anybody else, it would have been well and good for Peter to say, hey, wait a minute. You're this. I'm the fisherman. I take care of fishing. You take care of what you do. But wait a minute. This was Jesus talking. Hello. You know. See, in order for the natural to come in contact with the supernatural, then you have to do what the supernatural says to do. He had to take his natural ability of knowing about fishing and do what the supernatural told him to do. The supernatural told him, hey, get in a boat, go back out there where you were, where you've been all night, didn't catch nothing. Go back out there anyway and let your nets down. See, he had, in the natural, he had to go do this because the supernatural said so. See, look at this. In verse 5, he said, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Now he's telling him, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. At your word, I will let down the net. See, now he's saying, okay, because you said it, I will take the natural and go do what the supernatural told me to do. Let me understand where I'm coming from on this. You get anything out of this? See, if you want to experience the blessings of God, you have to be willing to do what he tells you, even if it doesn't make sense in the natural. Hello? We need to be ready to respond and take action. See, Peter had to take a step of obedience to what he said. See, now obedience opens the door for God to move in and take over. Your obedience in the natural opens the door for him to come in and take over. Hello? You know, too many people are walking around on a spiritual high, and they never get involved in the natural. And you, then, you know, and you look at them and you say, you ever notice these people they're on these spiritual highs. They try to spiritualize everything. Everything, you know, it's all spirit. It has something to do with spiritual. One guy said something to me one time. I said, I'm going to tell you what. It ain't got nothing to do with the spiritual. It's all natural. If you get your head out of the clouds and your feet on the ground, you might make it too. Because some people are so heavenly or spiritual minded, they're no earthly good, and there's some people that are so earthly minded and natural minded that they're no heavenly good. Now, we need to get in the middle of the road. That's where it is. You know, you ever notice people, I don't know, I understand people. They either get in the ditch over here or in the ditch over here when the truth of the matter is here, up here in the middle of the road, not over in this ditch or that. I don't know why people are like that, but they are. They are. I've been doing this 58 years, and I've been living 77, and I grew up in the preacher's house, And I come to realize that, man, being a minister and a pastor would be great if you didn't have to deal with people. But you probably, Nathan probably learned that dealing with people in the collision business. Business would be great if you didn't have to deal with people. I didn't mean to pick on you, Nathan, but he has, what's it called? Accurate Auto Body. That's what he has. I just happened to see him. I start looking now. I see all kinds of different people with different businesses. And, you know, I'm not going to call nobody else's name, but I'm sure they find out that dealing with people becomes an obstacle sometimes. this church wouldn't be built if we didn't, none of these buildings. When I was having to build some of these buildings around here, I had to really get on to some people, you know, and they asked me where my love was. I said, I still got plenty of love, but I want this building finished. praise the Lord. You know, what would have happened? What do you think would have happened? Maybe I should say it that way. If Peter said, hey, Jesus, okay, we'll do it, but we need to go home and sleep a little while. We've been out there all night. Let us go home and sleep a little while. Anyway, we just got all the nets stretched out. And we just got them all washed and ready for the next night's fishing. Just let us take a rain check on that, and we'll go out there later. What do you think would have happened? Huh? Nothing, that's right. Because the time to move is when God says to move, not later. The time to act is when God says to act. You know, If there's one thing I learned from my dad, working with him, my father-in-law, working with him in the ministry, is that we need to be ready to move or to stay still or to give or take if we're going to enjoy the blessings of God. You know, some people are so rigid, they never going to enjoy the blessings of God because it don't fit into their schedule. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. Their life is so rigid and they have such a schedule that God couldn't get in there if he wanted to. Because it's got to happen like they say. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a schedule. I got a schedule right here. Tells me what's supposed to happen in this service. Well, that just helps me. I'm not bound to that schedule. Some people are so bound to that schedule that they can't get out of it. I noticed here that actually there was another song. They sang two songs. They got them listed here. But they said they got another song listed. But as Rich, after they got through saying, Rich stepped up and he changed the schedule. Why? Because he felt the leading of the Spirit of God to change the schedule. Hello? Hello? You know, how many of you have ever noticed that I've got up here and before I preached, I prayed for the sick. Now, the schedule didn't call for that. What am I trying to get across to you? I'm trying to get across to you. You may have your plans, and you may have this, and this. But if God comes in and begins to talk to you about changing it, then you better let your schedule go out the window and start following God if you want to get the blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you want to get the blessing, you got to follow God and not your schedule. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You know, there's one thing that I learned in the ministry, and it's called being flexible. But I learned this in the natural, to be flexible. But I've also learned to be flexible in the supernatural. Now, you know, I can be praying and seeking God, and I have come to a platform when I was an evangelist with the Rhema Singers and Band. I'd come to the platform with a message. I'm ready to preach. I've been praying. I'm ready to go. And I'm sitting up on that platform. They start singing a song. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to speak to me. I grab a pen and a little piece of paper. I write down three thoughts and get up and one scripture and get up and preach for 35 minutes on it. Now, I'd prayed and I'd got a message. But now the Spirit of God begins to talk. So now, am I going to be flexible enough to say, wait a minute, I thought that. No, I did. I forget about it. I just go with what, this is what God's saying that they need, see? I prayed and prepared, and the Lord had talked to me, and I got this ready. But now, when the service starts going, God begins to realize that, hey, that's not what's needed. Something else is needed. Now, if I'm so rigid that I'm not going to jump, get off of my idea, do you know what? That's going to be the flattest, worst service you ever been in your life. Because God ain't in it. Oh, excuse me, God isn't in it. Sorry. Because God is in the other. See, there are many people say, you know, in the natural and the supernatural, we got to be flexible. Anybody getting what I'm trying to say to you tonight, today? You know, it's important to stand on God's word, take action, you know. You know, everybody, you're always needing something, you know. People need something. Sometimes you have to do a little extra. Extra, that's why I say it, in order to receive the blessing. You got to get out of the way and let God go. But there are times that God, you can pray, God won't tell you. So my dad used to say, well, Dad, I prayed, God didn't say nothing. He said, well, if he didn't say nothing, then he didn't do what you think you need to do in the natural. See, you got to learn when, if God don't say nothing, all right, go ahead. Whoa. I see light bulbs coming on people's eyes. Hello. You know, sometimes you got to do something extra. You know, I mean, back when I was an evangelist, I mean, we had the school. I taught in the school and I run the school, but I went out every weekend and preached somewhere, or tried to go out every weekend and preach. And then, you know, even when I was just working with Dad and doing crusade directory and so forth, man, we need some extra money. I began praying, God, I remember we did this when Craig was 3 years old. We're out on the road, me and Lynette and Craig in the motorhome, and I need some extra money, you know. And I began to pray, Lord, you know, Lynette and I agree together. And, you know, I hear all these people talk about they prayed, and the Lord, they got an envelope in the mail, had money in it. I didn't do that. That didn't happen for me. You know what I would get? Phone calls and invitations to go preach. Isn't that right, babe? And when I would do that, then I got blessed. See, what you got to realize, God don't always do it the same way for everybody. And you got to realize that if there's an opportunity, you've been praying about something, and an opportunity comes, where do you think that opportunity is coming from? Coming from God. He's giving you, he's opening a door for you to do something. Come on now. You know, perhaps you have a, you have an expertise. You can do certain jobs. Well, you begin to pray, ask for extra money, and God brings along a couple extra jobs. Well, it's going to require a little bit out of you. You're going to have to go a little bit out of your schedule. Well, yeah, but Lord already worked all day at the regular job. Fine. You're praying for extra money here. Come on. See, if you want the big blessing, you got to be willing to go the extra mile with God. Now, I realize everybody don't like talking about that. I'm not talking about working. I'm talking about working for your salvation. I'm talking about you praying for God to bless you and give you something, and he opens a door for you to get it, and you don't, well, I'm not going, I'm believing God. He's going to give it to me. I'm not going to have to work for nothing. Well, we got to realize how God works sometimes. He doesn't always work the same way. Sometimes somebody may come up to you and handed it to you. Sometimes he may do it another way. Hello. But you got to learn to be flexible enough to listen to God. I know when Lynette was, she does all the decoration around here. Well, she got up one morning and the Spirit of God told her to go back to a store that she had just been to a couple of days before. And there was an item she really wanted, but she wasn't going to pay that much money for it because she wasn't going to waste God's money because she was decorating around here. And it's years ago. And the Lord told her, go back to that store. Well, she argued a little bit with the Lord. I just went there 2 days ago. I know that. But she had to be flexible enough to say, okay, if you say go back there, I'm going to go back there. She walked back, she walked in the door, and there sat that item right in front of the door, 50% off, half price. Now, if she hadn't have been flexible enough to change her schedule in the natural and do what the supernatural told her to do, guess what? She'd have missed it. Anybody get where I'm coming from today? Come on now. Sometimes you just got to do, you got to do something extra. You got to do something that you didn't plan on doing. Now let's look again at this story. Launch out into the deep. Ooh, I got to hurry, don't I? Launch out into the deep and let your nets down. He didn't say go a little way from shore. He said go out in the deep part. Do you know the deep part is not close to the shore? Hello? Deep parts out there somewhere else. Okay. So there they go. They go out there. As we look at this, I want to look at real quickly. I want to look at four things here. I believe they're four simple little steps. If you want the explosive force of God to be unleashed in your life, four steps. First, we need to know what God is saying. All right? These four simple steps. First, you need to know what God is saying. All right? Second, you got to believe what he says. Right here. This is God talking, the Word of God. So you got to know what the Word says. Okay? And you got to believe what the Word says. Third, you got to say what the Word says. And fourth, you got to act on what the Word says. That's exactly what Peter did. He knew what Jesus was saying, okay? He believed it so much that he said, at your word, we're going to do it. And then he acted, okay? Abraham, who was Abram and was changed to Abraham, went around for around 17 years telling everybody that he was the father of many and he didn't have any. But he believed what God said. God said, I'm going to change your name to Abraham because you're going to be the father of many. He knew what God had said. He believed what God had said. He said what God had said and acted on what God had said. And he and Sarah had Isaac in their old age. It says in the Word of God, whatever you put your hand to, he will bless. The problem is there's a lot of people sitting around praying and they're not putting a hand to nothing. They're not doing nothing. Bless me, Lord, bless me. Give me a job, Lord. They're sitting in their house. All they got to do is drive down the street and it said, I saw, driving down the street yesterday, I saw three signs in three businesses that said, now hiring. How many of you have driven down the street lately and looked and saw a sign that said, now hiring? And some people say, I can't get a job. You might not can get the job you want, but you can get a job. I've had Rhema students come to me and tell me, well, I can't pay my bill because I can't get a job. I said, yeah, they're hiring right down here. They're hiring, right, I knew they were, right down the road. They're hiring waiter. Oh, well, I don't want to do that. I said, isn't something better than nothing? I said, go get that job and keep looking until you find the job that can pay what you need. But I said, to get something is better than nothing. Oh, I never thought of it like that. I just praying the Lord, give me a job. I said, yeah, he would. He'd probably give you the good job if you'd go get the bad job. Come on, listen to what I'm saying. You know, when you put your hand to something, that's the natural. That allows the supernatural to get into action. If you have a financial need, the Word of God says, sow a seed. Put money in the offering plate as it comes by. When you do, that allows the supernatural. When you actually do something in the natural, that allows the supernatural to come into effect. Obedience to the Word is what brings the blessing. You know, as we look at Jesus here, obedience to the Word is putting our faith in action. You know, so many times when we read about Jesus, he would tell them when he saw their faith is to take up your bed and walk. He'd tell them to do something. The man, go wash in the pool of Siloam and put mud on his eyes. Say, go wash. Say, got to go do something. When they did something, the supernatural come into play. Another place, stretch forth your hand. Well, he couldn't stretch his withered hand forth, but he had to do something. I'm coming back to it again and again and again. The natural and the supernatural coming together is what makes it an explosive force. This Rhema campus, this building, all this campus that you see here, it has all come together because the natural and the supernatural. We bought that first building on the corner, half of the building behind it, and 6 acres. In 1976. Dad looked at me. He said, okay, it's yours. I'm going to preach and teach. You make it happen. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of huge natural effort that has been involved in getting this campus together. I been there, done that. We first, over there in the administration building, the one office on the corner's got all the big windows. I can't see like I used to because all the trees have grown up. But I used to, from standing in my office, I could look out across this whole campus. Could see it all. We had several buildings coming together at once. I'm in my office. And I got a stack of bills on my desk. And the devil's telling me, you're going to tear down in just a few years what it's taken your dad 40-some-odd years to build. I got my Bible. I walked over that big window. And I put it down there just like that. And I said, all right. And I stood on it, looked out that window across the campus. I said, all right, Lord, you said do it. I'm standing on your word. Now, I've done the natural. Now, the supernatural's got to come into effect. We got to pay these bills. And I heard it in my spirit. How much you got? I said, what do you mean? I said, how much you got to pay? How much money you got? So, I asked accounting. I said, what do we got that we can use? They said, well, we got this amount. I said, the Lord, we got this amount. He said, okay, go over and find a bill. That's what I did. I found a bill. I paid that bill because I had enough money to do that, pay that one bill. He directed me to do that every day. It wasn't very long. All the bills were paid. But you see, I had to get the natural working with the supernatural. I had to find out how much money we had to spend that day. See, sometimes you get all pinned down looking at the big picture and you get frustrated. No, just say, okay, God, what can I do today to get the supernatural to work for me? I had a stack of bills. I'm looking at the stack. He said, hey, take it one bill at a time. That's what I did. Hallelujah. But you see, it took me in the natural. I had to go every day, find out how much we could spend, and then I had to look through those bills and find one or two that amounted up to that amount, pay that, and go from there. Hello? That's what some of you stood are looking at the mountain, just begin to look at it one step at a time. Any of you ever driven to California on the interstate? I was traveling with Dad when I was 15, 16 years old, going to California. They were building the interstate. We don't know. And they had to blast their way. You ever notice that they blasted their way through some of the mountain areas? Anybody ever notice that? They didn't take the whole mountain down at once. They drilled holes. They set charges. And they blow a little bit off. And then they scoop in, get out of the way, and do the same thing again. That's what you need to learn how to do. See, you need to do what you can do in the natural, set the charges, then let the supernatural take over, and then go back and set the charges the next day and let the supernatural take over until finally the mountain gone. Hallelujah. How many of you understand where I'm coming from this morning? It's the combination of the natural and the supernatural that will bring the explosive force and the abundant blessing from God. God wants you to be successful naturally and spiritually. He wants you to have your desires. He wants you to enjoy life. But you can't do it operating strictly in the natural or operating strictly in the supernatural. You got to operate in both of them together, bringing both of them together. When the natural and the supernatural come together, something starts happening. and you can be so happy. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this morning? That's just a little teaching. I brought a little bit of how I do things. But let me tell you what. God wants to bless you. He wants you to have the blessing. But it's not going to be all on his side. It's not going to be all on your side. It's going to be the working together, the combination together is what's going to make it happen. Hallelujah. Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments today to encourage them to get a hold of the word, know what the supernatural is saying, and do what they can in the natural, and watch both of them work together and watch their life just explode with abundance. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. How many of you get something this morning? How many of you got a nugget that you can take with you this morning? You know, I realize you've heard some of this preached before, but I believe that as I was speaking this morning, I know it from the Spirit of God, that there was something for each one of you to grab a hold of and to begin to use in your life right now so you can have the abundance. How many of you got a hold of that? How many of you gotten a hold of it? Hey, don't let the devil steal that nugget from you, because he'll come in. That's what he does. When the word is sown, he comes in and tries to steal it. Amen? Don't let it happen. Bow your heads for me for just a moment. You know, I always give a call for somebody to find Jesus. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or if you're here and you know what it is to serve Christ, but you know that you need to rededicate your life, or if you're here and you go to church, but you don't know whether you've ever actually accepted Christ or not. You know, you just go to church. Well, you have to accept Jesus. Going to church doesn't put you in the family of God. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, if you're here and you need to rededicate your life, if you're here and you go to church, but you don't know whether you've ever actually really accepted Christ or not, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. So would you let me know who you are by an upraised hand right now, anywhere in the room, anybody in the room. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You need a know-so experience with God. Would you just raise your hand right now? I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you wherever you're at in this room today. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Father, I don't see any hands being raised, but if there be one person under the sound of my voice that's in any one of those three categories, I thank you that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would go with them, and may they not be comfortable or satisfied doing anything until they stop and accept your Son Jesus. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Connection team, would you go find our first-time guests and take them to that special place where they can be and receive that special gift that we have for them? So right now, first-time guests, they're coming to get you. Nobody else moving unless you absolutely have to, unless it's our first-time guests. Allow them to get down the aisle, you know, and get to the connection room. Staff, you can go to the doors right now. Tonight at 6 o'clock, hey, you want to know where I am? I'm going north today. There's where everybody's going to be, right there on the screen. If you need to know where we're at, that's where we're at. Praise the Lord. 6 o'clock tonight right here. Come believe it. Wednesday night, hour of power. Next Sunday morning, right here. 9 o'clock, School of the Bible, 10 a.m., the main service. And next Sunday night, camp meeting starts. Hey, listen, we need all the help that we can get. So, hey, remember the announcements. Go and sign up to be involved. Hallelujah. Praise God. They're going to sing a chorus. Let me get down that aisle right there.